So as I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, this is Sunday number 33 in ordinary or numbered time, which means that next weekend is the solemn feast of Christ the King, and after that already it's the first Sunday of Advent, and a new year will take over. So it's customary in the Church's long liturgical tradition and cycle that as we get to these late Sundays of the year and approach Christ King, and even in the early days of Advent, our focus turns more and more toward talk about the end of time, two very stark kinds of readings with very, very different sorts of mysterious images, a little bit scary perhaps, depending upon how one reads it or understands it. So this Sunday, no exception, Mark paints us in his short but very powerful gospel a rather stark picture with words from Jesus that can be very unsettling, with stars falling and this happening and these things going on, tribulations. So here we are, late in the year, and there are some foreboding kinds of things to ponder. How does one understand it? This is the thing, yeah? And for so much of church history, I would say that it's easy to misunderstand these readings as Christians, even as a wider culture. So today, no different. So how about this? Maybe a couple of right and maybe one wrong way to read these kinds of texts. A wrong way and then some right ways to help us understand what's God trying to say to us then and now. Here would be the wrong way, although unfortunately kind of a common way, to read this gospel story about stars falling and calamity happening and all these bad things. Wrong way goes kind of like this. It is for us to conclude every single time we see something unsettling happening out in the world or in our hearts that we have reached the end of the world, that it has in fact come. That's the wrong way to read these texts. So we kind of, you know, read Twitter and we look at social media and we watch the news, and every time something is kind of scary, we start thinking, is this it? Is this the end of the world? Has it arrived? So you know, we have rising prices, and we can't buy products off the shelves. And there is, of course, COVID, and there's vaccine mandates, and there's the deep state theories, and there's all these problems, and there's insurrections, and there's Aaron Rodgers sitting out from, you know. So you say to me, Father, is this the end of time? Is this, have we finally arrived? Everything's coming apart. I say, no, Aaron Rodgers is going to be fine. He's going to play today. But you get the point, right? This is not uncommon for so much of history when things have gotten rough in the world, either in local villages in medieval times or in ancient times in Jerusalem or whenever. People have always jumped to the conclusion, this must be what he's talking about. Sky is falling, stars are coming down. This is it. That is not the right way to understand these texts, all right? Now, when you say things like this to me, it's entertaining for me on one level, I'll just tell you, but the fact is it's not really helpful to think the world's gonna end whenever the market crashes. Just not true. Are these things hard, by the way, they're going through right now? Is it unsettling? Sure. Are the challenges we're facing right now real? Absolutely. Is it easy right now? No, it is not. So I don't wanna minimize the fact that things are hard. For those of us who are used to a very stable kind of world, it's changing, and that is unsettling, but the world is not ending. So to be clear, you heard it from me. Now, then how do we understand these things? What's the right way? The Church's teachings are very clear about this, and if you look at the scriptures carefully, they lay this out too, okay? It is true, number one, there is in fact an end of time. There is an end of days. There is a last judgment, there is a second coming. That's a fundamental tenet of our faith. And we profess it with hope and with conviction that it is true. Christ will come to judge the living and the dead. Now, we know certain things about this. For one, the scriptures make it clear that when it does come, it's going to be flat out obvious. As in, every single person on the planet will know that it is happening. There will be no mistaking it whatsoever. It'll be abundantly, brilliantly clear. So clear, okay, that if we're debating if it's happening or not, then we know that it's not here yet. Seriously. The fact you're here this morning means it ain't here yet. You will know when it is here. Now, knowing this, what should that inspire in our hearts? A couple things. One, I would say a very healthy sense of fear about God's coming. What does he say at the end of the gospel story for today? He explains that, yes, the Son of Man will come in his glory, and you don't know when. Only the Father knows. So he leaves us hanging in suspense, so to speak, which means that you and me ought to be very good about living our lives so that we're ready when he shows up. What a crime it would be if I spent my life and your life just drifting through existence, not noticing when God shows up. He comes on the altar every single Mass. Here, it's beautiful in the Eucharist and the sacraments. He's in his word, which does not pass away. He's in his church. He's in the faces of the poor and the suffering around us. So in those mysterious ways, he's around me all the time, and I'd better pay attention, or my life is empty if I miss those things. And he will come in judgment. He will come in judgment. And so I don't want to live as though I don't care about that, because when he shows up, I have to explain why I chose like I did. And I don't know when it's going to come. So I cannot be lackadaisical. I cannot be sloppy. A Christian must anticipate the fact that at any given time, any given moment, our life could end. That's a fact. And it should sober us and make us behave, frankly, really, really well. That's important, no? So if I live as though I know he could show up at any time, it's going to make me and you a better person to be around. That's the hope, anyway. So is the world ending now? No, because you'll know it when it does, one. Knowing that should inspire a healthy sense of fear in me, two, right? But there's more. It's not only fear. And here's where things get to be, I think, easy to misunderstand about these texts, because the fact is, these things are in the Scriptures. They're in the Gospel because they're messages of hope and they're messages of power, and they are truly, in the word gospel sense, good news. How is that exactly? I'll offer you two very closely related ways that this is the case. One, okay, to get some context on this situation, we're in the late chapters of Mark's gospel. The Lord has now arrived at his destination. He's in Jerusalem. He's been going there for many Sundays now. He gets there and he sees the beautiful temple and the disciples with him look at it all too. And he makes the comment to them as they remark about how amazing this big building is. He says, you know, it's all going to get torn down anyway. It's all going to come crashing down. And then he goes up Mount of Olives, he sits down and overlooking the city. They ask him again, right before these verses, when's it going to happen? He launches this big, long conversation about all these bad things that are coming. Fires, wars, tribulations, temple destruction. Why does he do that? Because he wants them to understand something very, very important, which is this. Bad things are going to happen to you all the time, my friends. There's always going to be something going on in the world that's wrong. You're going to face persecutions and challenges and difficulties and wars and uprisings and viruses and plagues and Aaron Rodgers sitting out, whatever. It's never done, he says, until I come back. In the meantime, don't be surprised if there's upheaval. And he tells us, every time it happens, don't chase after it like it's the thing. Rather, hold firm. Stand your ground. Know what's really happening. Know it's not the end, because you'll know when the end is. So in the meantime, your response to all that chaos isn't to run, isn't to panic, isn't to live in fear. It's to say, I know that the Lord is with me, and I'm going to be strong through whatever comes. This message, we take it for granted, but it's a tremendous stabilizer of Western society. Because just think how bad it would be if in the world, every time something appeared on the horizon that was a dark cloud, we just took off in panic. God doesn't want that for his world. So he gives us these teachings to stabilize us and say, look, you'll know when I'm coming. In the meantime, hang on tight. It's going to be fine. So his community is supposed to be a leaven in the dough of a humanity that's often prone to worst-case scenarios. Know anybody like that? Okay. He says, a Christian doesn't think that way. A Christian has perspective. When bad things happen, it's hard. There's the cross. It's going to be bloody for you. It's going to be messy. But I promise you, it ain't the end. So knowing that, don't freak out. That's the basic message. And when a whole group of people understands that, we stabilize cultures and nations and societies because we don't freak out. We just figure it out. The second way that this is good news goes kind of like this, and it's closely related to the first one I just mentioned. He says in the beginning here this whole thing about the stars falling and the moon and the sun being dark and all these really bad things happening in the skies. How does one understand that? These are messages of hope. These are things that are supposed to inspire us and lift our hearts, because these are spoken to a group of people who find themselves in first century Palestine under persecution and under attack by pagan powers. Why do I emphasize that point? Think about this. In first century Palestine and in Roman times, they thought about the stars in the sky and the planets and the sun and the moon not as these big objects like we do, as big balls of dust. They thought of them as deities. They were gods. They were forces that impacted daily life. So you know what a horoscope is? It's pagan. It's the idea that the stars aligning up there somehow impact my life on Earth here. My crops, my family, my fertility, my job, the security of my village, all depending upon the stars, because they thought the stars were powerful. What he's trying to say here is, you know, listen, little flock, little Christians, as things get bad, remember this. One day when I come, I will triumph over every single power that's opposed to me. Everything. If it's not in my kingdom, it's going to get toppled. It might take centuries for it to happen, but I promise you, as time passes, my power will reign. So when he speaks about sun and moon getting blown up, I mean, God is not going to blow up the sun. Why does he need to do that? There's nothing wrong with the sun. He's trying to say in biblical language, those cosmic pagan powers that are opposed to you, secular entities, Roman ideas, things that are opposed to Christian doctrine, I will topple every single one of them. My judgment and my coming means I will come in power. And in that, we will triumph, brothers and sisters. Therefore, whenever things get bad, when the culture seems hard, when there's sin that's hard to overcome, when things are rough, look up, look to me, and don't be afraid and don't crumble, because just know that in the final battle, I'm going to win. I always do, God says. That's how you read these passages. The sun's not going to blow up. God's trying to say, I'm in charge. No matter what happens, I'm in charge. Think about what a great message of hope that is to a struggling Christian community that was small and under attack all the time. The Romans, the Jews, the temple aristocracy, these other difficulties they faced all throughout the centuries, they went back to this over and over again saying, we know God's going to triumph, we know God's going to triumph, hang on, hang on, hang on. So end of the day here, okay, this is a great gospel story. It was hung on to for a reason. It's supposed to give us hope. So the world's not ending right now, I promise you. It's not. You'd know it if it were. It will end. Therefore, be ready and live well. That is extremely important. No question. Yes. But don't live in this total absolute fear, because the fact is these are messages of hope that the world is not going to overcome us. God will overcome it. Whatever is opposed to him, he will dismantle it. And it will happen. It will happen. So on that, my friends, we rest. And the culture right now, which is more and more secular around us, like it was back in the Christian era of the first centuries, needs us to be an example of hope, of sanity, of stability, of calm, of reason, of right perspective. They need us to not freak out, because we understand that God's in charge. It's as simple as that. So what a good message to know, right? So we're going to rest on that, on his word that doesn't pass away, and we're going to trust that whatever comes at us, God is large and in charge, he is king, and his followers are to hope and trust in his power to save in every single era without question until he comes again in glory, and we'll know it, to bring us home to his heavenly kingdom.